meet in the presence of God who knows our needs, hears our cries, feels our pain, and heals our wounds. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
What does the Lord require of you but to do justice, and to love kindness, and to walk humbly with your God? This I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. We commit ourselves to work in penitence and faith for reconciliation between the nations, that all people may together live in freedom, justice, and peace. We pray for all who in bereavement, disability, and pain continue to suffer the consequences of fighting or terror. We remember with thanksgiving and sorrow those whose lives in two world wars and conflicts past and present have given and taken away. They shall grow not old as we that are left grow old. Age shall not weary them, nor the years condemn, at the going down of the sun and in the morning. We will remember. Ever-living God, we remember those whom you have gathered from the storm of war into the peace of your presence. May that same peace calm our fears, bring justice to all peoples, and establish harmony among the nations. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The hymn, The Supreme Sacrifice. O valiant hearts, who to your glories came.
Beloved in Christ, we have come together to recall the presence of God, the Father of us all, maker and sustainer of all that is, whose love is never withheld, and whose mercy never passes away. We remember his faithfulness in times of darkness and despair. We thank him for all who counted the service of others greater than the service of self, and who gave their lives that we might live. We rededicate ourselves in his service, that his will may be done on earth as it is in heaven, and that his kingdom of peace and joy may fill the hearts of people everywhere. But first, we acknowledge our failure to live as children of one Father in the world entrusted to us, with all its sins and shortcomings, its pride, its selfishness, its greed, its evil divisions and hatreds. Let us kneel and confess our sins to God our Father. Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that has passed and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy on you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, open our lips. O God, make speed to save us. Glory to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. Psalm 46.
Thank you. reading from the book of the prophet Micah, chapter 4, beginning at verse 1. In days to come, the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established as the highest of mountains, and shall be raised up above the hills. People shall stream to it, and many nations shall come and say, "Come, let us go to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways, and that we may walk in his paths." For out of Zion shall go forth instruction, and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between many peoples, and shall arbitrate between nations far away. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But they shall sit under their own vines and under their own fig trees. No one shall make them afraid, for the mouth of the Lord of hosts has spoken. For all peoples walk in the name of its God, but we will walk in the name of the God, Lord our God, forever and ever. On that day, says the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather those who have been driven away and those whom I have afflicted.
The canticle, Urbs Fortitudinis.
A reading from the Gospel according to St. Matthew chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up to the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you.
Canticle Benedictus. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Show us your mercy, O Lord. O Lord, save the King. Let your ministers be clothed with righteousness. O Lord, save your people. Give peace in our time, O Lord. O God, may clean our hearts within us. Almighty Father, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of all, govern the hearts and minds of those in authority, and bring the families of the nations divided and torn apart by the ravages of sin to be subject to his just and gentle rule, who is alive and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. O God, the author of peace and lover of concord, to know you is eternal life, and to serve you is perfect freedom. Defend us in all assaults of our enemies, that we, surely trusting in your protection, may not fear the power of any adversaries, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, Almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things guide us to know and do your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We recall all servicemen and women, especially from the United Kingdom, who gave their lives in two world wars and other conflicts, each one remembered by and known to God. With them we remember those who love them in death as in life, their families, their colleagues, and their friends. O God of truth and justice, we hold before you those whose memory we cherish and those whose names we will never know. Help us to lift our eyes above the torment of this broken world, and grant us grace to pray for those who wish us harm. As we honor the past, may we put our faith in your future, for you are the source of life and hope, now and forever. We pray for all who suffer as a result of war, the injured, disabled, and mentally distressed, for civilian women, children, and men whose lives are disfigured by war or terror, the bereaved, all who have lost their livelihood or security, and those whose faith in God has been weakened or destroyed. We also pray for the Royal British Legion, this year celebrating its 104th anniversary, and other fellowships of men and women who are dedicated to the relief of those in need. O Christ, our Master and Redeemer, you were wounded for the salvation of all, and your body broken for the peace of the world. Hear us, therefore, as we commend to your care all who have been wounded in body, mind, or spirit, especially in recent conflict, and for whom life will never be the same. Grant them healing of body and mind, strengthening of spirit and confidence, and whatever the future holds for them, the encouragement of good companionship and of understanding love for your dear sake. We pray for all in positions of responsibility, especially all who bear the burden of political, military, or religious leadership. We pray for the King, the Prime Minister and Government, the First Minister, Deputy First Minister and Executive, the President, President-elect, Taoiseach, Tánaiste and Government in the Republic, as well as the leaders of all countries represented at the United Nations Organization. We pray that all church leaders may give voice to the Christian concern for justice and holiness. Almighty God, we pray for those who occupy high office in this and all the nations of the world. Help them to lead wisely and well, to seek the welfare of all the people, and to make their contribution to the stability, well-being, and peace of the world through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
We pray for the armed services, the Royal Navy, the Army, and the Royal Air Force, and those who serve in all ranks of the Police Service of Northern Ireland and the Northern Ireland Prison Service. We pray for the emergency services everywhere and for all who work in the face of great danger day by day to establish peace and security and the well-being of people. To your care and protection, O Lord of hosts, we commend the men and women of our security forces at home and abroad, as well as all aid, medical, and reconstruction workers. Defend them in the hour of danger, strengthen them in the fulfillment of their duty, and enable them to serve their country with loyalty, courage, and power through Jesus Christ our Lord. We bring before God in penitence the hatreds of our world, the deep divisions of our humanity. We ask for a new understanding, a new resolve, a new obedience to the law of love. We pray for peace, especially in Ukraine and Gaza. Lord Christ, you are our peace. For by your cross you have broken down the dividing wall of hostility between the nations. By the power of your Spirit, reconcile us to the Father and to our brothers and sisters of every nationality and culture, that we may be no longer strangers to one another, but fellow citizens with the saints in the household of God, for the glory of your name. Almighty God, the fountain of all wisdom, you know our needs before we ask and our ignorance in asking. Have compassion on our weakness and give us those things which for our unworthiness we dare not and in our blindness we cannot ask, for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. The hymn, I vow to thee, my country, all earthly things above.
Thank you.
May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of each one of our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Some words from today's New Testament reading, St. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 1. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach. I wonder where Jesus would be teaching today if he was about to give the Sermon on the Mount. Would he be on Zoom? Or would that be too closed, as you need the link to get in? Would he be on Facebook or Instagram with his settings set to public? Or maybe he'd opt for the television or radio so people who don't have broadband could listen. It is, of course, a hypothetical question, but it is one which came to mind as I was preparing for today. The reason it came to mind is because at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus goes to where he can be seen and heard. What he has to say is of huge significance, and he wants people to hear it. He goes up the mountainside. It wouldn't be called the Sermon on the Mount otherwise. And the disciples followed him. He probably went away from the crowd to be with the disciples, but the crowd could still see where he was. We know later on in the sermon that the crowd gathered round and Jesus teaches the crowd as well as the disciples. Up the mountainside, Jesus can be seen and heard. He can make sure that what he has to say is not missed. The Sermon on the Mount is, of course, much longer than the 12 verses we heard earlier. Yet these opening verses, the Beatitudes as they are called, set the scene for all that Jesus will say over the next few chapters. They are a significant introduction to what is to come and in many ways summarize all that Jesus says. The Beatitudes introduce us to the way of the kingdom of God, into the way of the Spirit. They tell us what the world that God desires is like. They tell us what the world can be like if we follow the teachings of Jesus. They tell us what the world will be when the risen Jesus returns. Through Jesus, God's kingdom is here, but not yet complete. And when Jesus returns, will be complete. The world that the Beatitudes tell us about is a world where those who mourn are comforted, where the meek will inherit the earth, where those who hunger and thirst for righteousness will be filled with many good things, where those who are merciful will be shown mercy, where we will see God, where peacemakers will be children of God, where all people will rejoice because the rewards they seek are God's reward and no one else's. These wonderful words paint for us a picture of the world as it could be, as it will be in the future. They tell us what the world can be in God's economy, in the way of Jesus Christ. I want for a moment to invite you to hold on to that rich and beautiful picture which we get from the words of Jesus and the Beatitudes, to hold on to it and to imagine it as a picture on one side of a card. The Beatitudes remind us of what we can be and what we will be, but the image which we hold in our minds on one side of a card has to be contrasted with the reality of today and the reality of the past that Remembrance Sunday rightly marks. Remembrance Sunday paints a very different picture on the other side of the card. Remembrance Sunday paints a picture which reminds us of the horror of war, of the battles that were fought through the world wars and in so many other conflicts around the world, including, of course, the troubles here in Northern Ireland and the more recent conflicts of Ukraine and in Gaza. Remembrance Sunday reminds us of those who gave their lives so that we might live. But this Remembrance Sunday feels different, and whilst it is right that it is our focus today, it would be wrong if onto that picture we didn't add the reality of the world that we are living in at the moment. A world in which we are living in the aftermath of a global pandemic. A world where bias and prejudice are sadly a part of everyday life. Where racism, sexism, and homophobia are too common. A world where children are shot in schools and priests are shot outside their churches. A world where those who seek safety risk doing so in small boats and dinghies because that is a better option than to stay where they are. What a picture we paint of the world that we are part of. What a sad picture it is. What pain it causes us, what sadness it brings to our hearts. And it as it should, for it is a picture which not only causes us to be sad, but a picture which causes God to weep. What a contrast we have in the two pictures of the two sides of our card. A contrast between what is and what can and will be, a contrast between what is through the hands of humans and what is possible by the power and love of God in Jesus. Let us hold on to these pictures for a moment. In the Iona community communion liturgy, there is a phrase which I love. It says, "Heaven is here and earth, and the space is thin between them." One of the reasons I asked you to imagine those pictures on two sides of a card is because the space between the two sides of a card is thin. Just as the space between the reality of the world and the possibility of God's kingdom is thin. For whilst today we must acknowledge the reality of our world, in the past and in the present, it is right to mark pain, to mark the pain, that conflict, prejudice, illness, and so many else causes. As God's people, as followers of Jesus, it is just as right to proclaim that that picture, that story, is not the final story, but that when we walk in the way of Jesus, there is a different story to be told, a different way to be, a promise of a very different future. And what is so amazing is that here in the words of Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, we have described for us what that different way is and what it will be like, the way of comfort, mercy, peace, faithfulness. We have two pictures, the world as we know it, with great sadness, which is contrasted with the possibility of what can be and will be from the wonderful words of the Beatitudes. Despite many challenges at the moment, there is one challenge we haven't had to overcome this Remembrance Sunday. There are many years when Remembrance Sunday is wet. Now, whether wet or not, being inside our comfortable parish church, we are protected from inclement weather. However, many remembrance events take place outside by war memorials or on the streets, and by this point in the service, one's paper order of service would be rather damp. But do you know what happens when one's order of service becomes damp? Well, if you hold it up, you can see right through, and from one side, you can see the words of both sides of the page. The words from one side seep through and merge with the words on the other side. We have painted two pictures in our minds today on two sides of a card. But these images mustn't be kept on two sides of a card. For God's desire is that the card becomes damp, that the things keeping the pain of the world separate from the potential of the kingdom become see-through. That the great love that we find in the kingdom of God, that Jesus describes in the Beatitudes, merges with the pain and difficulty of the world to transform the world and God's kingdom. If we let the paper become damp, if we let the way of God's kingdom merge into the sad way of the world, then with Jesus the world will be transformed. For that is the promise that we have in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When the two merge together, the world will be blessed. There are, of course, many, many different ways in which the power of God's kingdom merges into the darkness of the world. Many of these ways are already seen and could easily be added to our pictures. The work of Air Force, soldiers, and Navy personnel, and the United Nations officials on peacekeeping operations today. The work of food banks serving communities or cafes providing food. The prayers of God's faithful people. The work of charities like Love Welcomes in refugee camps. But on this Remembrance Sunday, I'd like to suggest there are two ways in which all of us may be part of bringing God's kingdom in the world, of transforming the world with Jesus to a better place. Firstly, it starts with asking for forgiveness. It's not easy to say, but each of us contributes to that dark picture of the world. Each of us has a way to go to live up to God's will. Each of us needs to seek forgiveness for the ways in our lives that we don't follow the picture that Jesus gives us in the Beatitudes. We can only seek forgiveness from Jesus, but when we follow him, his love for us and his death and resurrection mean that his forgiveness is always available to us. We must begin by seeking forgiveness for the way we individually and corporately contribute to the darkness and brokenness of the world. Secondly, we commit to the ways that Jesus speaks of her in the Beatitudes, summarized well in the words of the prophet Micah, who says, "And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God." For if we are people who seek our own forgiveness from God and then commit humbly to the way of the kingdom, the way of justice and mercy, then we will be people who bring together those two pictures on our card. We will be people walking with God who make the space between them thin, who merge the two together. And because we are the people who can see both sides of the card, as you can when your service sheet becomes damp at an outdoor service. So today, let us remember with sadness and thanks all those who have given their lives so we might live. Let us hold before God the world as it is today, acknowledging that it is a dark place. Let us commit afresh to being people who follow the way of Jesus Christ, the way of the kingdom, people who know what the kingdom is like. Let us live like the kingdom is near, and in the power of the Holy Spirit, do all that we can to bring the two together so that the great power of God's love and light in all its glory overcomes the darkness with the blazing light of God's love. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, we ascribe as is most justly due all might, majesty, praise, glory, and dominion from this time forward and forevermore. Amen. The loose collection at today's service will be in favour of the poppy appeal. Remember to show kindness and to share what you have with others, for such are the sacrifices of which God approves. The collection hymn, Hope for the World's Despair.
Thank you.
let us commit ourselves to responsible living and faithful service. Will you strive for all that makes for peace? Will you seek to heal the wounds of war? Will you work for a just future for all humanity? Let us pray. Merciful God, we offer to you the fears in us that have not yet been cast out by love. May we accept the hope you have placed in the hearts of all people and live lives of justice, courage, and mercy through Jesus Christ, our risen Redeemer. God grant to the living grace, to the departed rest, to the Church, the King, the Commonwealth, and all people unity, peace, and concord, and to us and all his servants, life everlasting. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you always. Immediately following this service, there will be light refreshments in the parochial hall in support of Christian Aid. And I do hope we can gather across the road in the hall in less formal surroundings and continue the fellowship. Tomorrow night, Monday, a meeting of the Select Vestry in the hall at 7:30. On Wednesday evening, the bowling club meets in the hall at 8:00. On Thursday, choir practice here in church at 8:00. Sunday next, the second Sunday before Advent, parish communion at 10:00. The next meeting of the Wednesday club will take place at 11:00 on Wednesday, the 19th of November. The food bank are requesting donations of bottles of Schlur and small selection boxes, which will be placed in hampers for needy families, and it would be greatly appreciated if donations of these items could be left in church up to and including Sunday, the 23rd of this month. Our traditional Christmas fair takes place in the hall on the last Friday of the month, Friday the 28th of November, from 7 to 9 p.m. in the hall. A flyer is being distributed this morning with details of stalls and other information. Donations of items for home baking, or a stall, or the book and Christmas toys, etc., the tombola stall, and other Christmas items that will sell. These may be left in the hall on the night before, that's Thursday, the 27th, from 7 to 8 p.m., or on the Friday itself, the day of the fair, from 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. On the last Sunday of this month, Sunday the 30th of November, we will mark the beginning of the season of Advent with an Advent carol service at 10 o'clock. It will also be a gift day for the benefit of our partner diocese of Maridi in South Sudan, who are building a new family circle, a new family center that will provide counseling, health advice, prayer, education, and practical provision alongside sharing the love of Christ in word and in many other practical ways. The current women's center in Maridi has impacted the lives of tens of thousands of men, women, and children who have lived through decades of trauma. This center is due for demolition in the very near future without any government compensation to make way for a new road from Juba to Western Equatoria. To build the new family circle, it will cost £40,000. A sizable sum anywhere, but in a diocese like Maridi, next to impossible. So that hope and healing can continue to be offered alongside introducing many to Christianity in the decades ahead. So please keep our Advent carol service in mind on the 30th of November. And our bishop, the Right Reverend David McClay, asks us to contribute generously to the special collection that day in support of Maridi's new family circle. And looking ahead to next month, just to mention, so that there's no possible confusion, the traditional Christmas service of nine lessons and carols will take place in this church on the second Sunday of December, Sunday the 14th of December at 3 p.m. The recessional hymn, O God Our Help in Ages Past. Neither death nor life can separate us from the love of God